Okay, yeah, thanks, George, for the opportunity to tell you guys about, like you said, some very recent work. And thank you all for coming to this last day of the program on Friday afternoon. I'd like to tell you a very simple story that's basically a topological version of Oreo cookies. So imagine that this face of the cookie with cream on it is a non-trivial topological face of matter. And imagine that this other face without cream on it is some boring system with very weak energy scales. It hasn't really decided what it wants to do. So we all know that when you couple these two faces together in a sandwich, then some cream will get rubbed off on the other layer. And a very similar thing happens in the topological part of the analogy. So some of that topology gets transferred to the secondary system, but the way in which it does so is somewhat unexpected, and it'll be the main subject of my talk. So before I get into the details, let me first acknowledge my collaborators. Most of this work is based on collaboration with Hiro, Leon, and Taylor Hughes from Urbana-Champaign. And I also want to acknowledge Yunming and Andreas for collaboration in progress that's basically motivated by some of this work I'll be presenting today. And I should also thank KITP's Entanglement and Spin Orbit programs for making these two collaborations possible. Both were visitors at some point. Okay, so here's a brief outline of my talk. So I'll begin with the obligatory introduction to topological phases. I'll highlight some features that are essential for what I want to do. And after that, I'll tell you what is this proximity effect that I'm talking about, and I'll provide a pretty general framework in which we'll expect this effect to occur. Then I'll illustrate this effect concretely in a particular free fermion example. And after that, I'll generalize to all free fermion topological phases and show you how it works. Then I'll briefly provide some signatures that you can tell an experimentalist to look at to observe this effect. And finally, I'll look at more broadly interacting systems, see how this effect might change in these cases, and close with some new directions that I'm currently pursuing. Okay, so topological phase actually is very similar to this face of the Oreo cookie, because there's no local order parameter. And instead, you need some global notion, like a topological invariant or entanglement, to characterize a topological phase. However, fortunately, there are still signatures that experimentalists can observe. So many of these topological phases have gapless boundary states around the sample. And what will be very important for my talk is this feature of many topological phases, this notion that a lot of these phases have an inverse phase, that when you combine with the original phase, forms a jointly trivial system. Okay, so there's an additive structure for a lot of these topological phases. So let me just quickly illustrate these properties for one of the simplest examples of topological phase, the Chern insulator. So in this case, there's no local order parameter. There's a topological invariant called Chern number. And this integer basically dictates the number of gapless edge modes that go around the boundary. So this is a Chern number one phase. And the inverse of this Chern number one phase is a Chern number minus one phase with edge modes going the other way. And it's the inverse because when we couple these two things together, the counterpropagating edge states will gap out and form a trivial system. So that's what I mean by inverse. Okay, so since these quantum Hall systems, there have been a huge number of predictions and realizations of topological phases. I'm sure you know this, but I'm just highlighting a lot of the successes past decade. So for example, these topological insulators and superconductors have motivated a new idea of symmetry protected topological phases, in which a phase that without any other considerations might be trivial is not smoothly connected to a trivial phase when you impose that the system must obey a symmetry. So in the case of topological insulators, we're all aware that it's time reversal symmetry, but then you can have other systems protected by, for example, crystal mirror symmetry. And all of these have the nice gapless surface states that you can tell an experimentalist to go measure. So yeah, I'm just trying to make a point that, you know, we're having more and more of these topological phases. We've heard last week a nice talk by James and Elitis about Val Dirac semimetals. And throughout this conference, we've heard numerous talks on trying to realize Z2, U1 spin liquids, Kitaev honeycomb candidates, etc. So in this sense, most of us are already familiar with the sociological proximity effect, in which topological research is kind of contagious. That if your neighbor is working on it, you're more likely to jump in as well. Okay, so, but for some more exotic topological phases, we need to be more clever in engineering. So a lot of proposals have involved making composites of systems. For example, this early work by Fu and Kane on a superconductor topological insulator interface to get an effective P+IP superconductor. And there are similar setups. You can add a magnet now in 1D with a nanowire superconductor, also in the goal of getting Majorana fermions. And more recently, there's been a lot of interesting developments on coupling superconductor and fractional quantum Hall effect for the goal of realizing parafermions, which are even more exotic than Majorana fermions. So yeah, basically my point is just that there's been a lot of effort in, you know, putting things together and try to get even more exotic phases of matter. Okay, so that's pretty much my introduction to topological phases. I apologize for boring you. So now let me jump into some more motivation for my talk. So I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this quote from JFK. And so in this talk, I'll be asking a similar thing, but I'll be asking not what we can do to realize topological phases, but I'll be asking what topological phases can do for us. So I've already shown you that, you know, there's tremendous effort going into realizing these phases, and there'll be more and more as the years come. So what I was interested in is basically the question of, you know, given a topological phase, now what can you do with it? What is the effect of this phase on surrounding systems? Okay. And hopefully I'll convince you that some interesting things can happen. So, okay, so here's the general setup for the proximity effect that I want to consider. So let's start out with a topologically non-trivial system A. Okay, so that's a non-trivial ground state and a gap given by delta A. Then I want to add identical degrees of freedom to system B. And let's say this system B has some energy scale WB. Then I want to couple the two together, okay, with some Hamiltonian HAB. So I really want this topological phase to be the star of the show. So I want this energy gap to be the largest scale in the problem. I don't want it to be affected by this coupling. Okay. And on the flip side, I want the energy scale of system B to be the lowest, because I want it to be as susceptible as possible to the topology of system A. And I want this coupling to be somewhere in between. So for most of this talk, I'll actually be taking the extreme limit of hb equals 0. So b will just be a bunch of degenerate degrees of freedom. And so unless I say otherwise, I'll be assuming b has no Hamiltonian to begin with. And I want to make two more assumptions for this framework. So first, I want to assume that A is invertible in the sense that I described earlier. And I want to consider couplings between A and B of the type whose ground state is a product state of maximally entangled AB sides. So I want HAB to have ground state that looks like this. Okay. And as I've stated this, it seems kind of contrived, but a lot of couplings actually fall into this category. So for example, if you have a bilayer fermion system, then tunneling is in this framework. Or for a spin system, AFM exchange also is in this category. So it's not that outrageous of an assumption. So with these two assumptions, now I'll describe what proximity effect I expect to occur. So let me begin with the concrete case of A being free fermion system, a free fermion topological phase. So I'll show you that in this case, there's no phase transition between the weak coupling and the strong coupling limits. The coupling between the layers, I mean. Okay? So the strong coupling limit, by construction, is a trivial product state. I've assumed that. But the fact that there's no phase transition means that the weak coupling limit, in the weak coupling limit, the whole system is also in that trivial phase. Which means that the second system must carry the inverse topological order as the first system. Okay? So I guess the non-trivial part is the fact that there's no phase transition when A is a free fermion phase. So let's see a little bit more in detail how this works. I got really hungry making these slides using Oreo cookies, donuts. Let me show you how this works in the case that A is a churn insulator. Okay. So details are not too important, but let me just present the type binding model for a churn insulator to use. So here you have a tie binding model on a square lattice, and electrons have a pseudo spin degree of freedom labeled by alpha beta, and these are just Pauli matrices acting in that pseudo spin space. So the only important thing you really need to know is that there's this parameter mu that dictates which phase the ground state is in. So when mu is between 0 and 2, ground state is churn number minus 1. And when mu is greater than 2, the ground state is trivial. That's all that you really need to know. So now let's proximatize this thing. So for system A, let's start out with a churn insulator. I chose mu equal 1, which is in this churn number minus 1 phase. And again, HB is 0, no Hamiltonian. And for coupling, the natural choice is just tunneling between these two systems, A and B. Okay? So, okay, for zero coupling, when the two layers are decoupled from each other, the picture is this. So I have these churn bands coming from system A, and I have this flat band that's system B. And now I can turn on small coupling and see what happens. So I can do degenerate perturbation theory, and one process that will contribute to the effect of Hamiltonian is basically tunneling electron out of this valence band into the flat band and then back. And of course, another process is tunneling flat band electron into the conduction band and back. It's simple perturbation theory. So these two processes will now give an effective Hamiltonian for this flat band. We'll gap it out. And this effective Hamiltonian will be of this form. So it will essentially be a projector onto the excited states of system A, the conduction band of system A. And basically, both of these processes contribute the same term here. Okay. So in other words, you can think of system B as kind of inheriting the Chern number from the conduction band of system A. Okay. So as a result, its new ground state will have Chern number 1, the Chern number of the conduction band. So this is a weak coupling picture of what happens. But of course, this is a free fermion system, and we can just solve the problem exactly. So now I want to generalize beyond Chern insulators and consider any free fermion topological phase with Hamiltonian HA. Okay? So the single particle Hamiltonian has this form in my framework. So I have HA here, 0 here, and the coupling between them. So I've suppressed the identity matrix here. And so what's nice is that, okay, so we can first just diagonalize HA with some unitary U. But what's nice is that since this lower right block is 0, it really doesn't matter what basis we choose for it. So we can use the same unitary to change the basis of system B such that these identities remain even after we've diagonalized this block. Okay? So in other words, after I diagonalize, I just have this diagonal matrix here, identity, and 0. Sorry, George, you probably can't see that, right?
No, I
you can see that? Okay, good. Okay, so basically, the single particle Hamiltonian, some matrix with blocks all being diagonals. So this big matrix can basically just be decomposed into small 2x2 matrices, right? So in other words, let EN 0 be the eigenvalues of HA. Then basically we just have to diagonalize 2x2 matrices to get the spectrum of this full Hamiltonian. And we all know how to do that. And the new eigenvalues of this full system are given by this. So you can see that as you tune G from 0 to infinity, all the energy levels get repelled from 0. And the gap just monotonically increases. So there's no phase transition from infinitesimal G to infinite G. Therefore, at any coupling, system B is in the inverse phase as system A, because the total system is always trivial. Okay, so very simple story, as I warned you. Any questions? Yeah.
The distinction between the two systems is only kind of valid when you do perturbation theory, right? Otherwise, you can't really get all of them.
What was the first part of your statement? Sorry,
the fact that you're still considering system B different from system.
Yeah, exactly. So the picture that B is kind of independent from A only holds for small coupling, which is pretty much what the regime we're interested in. Okay. Okay, so now let me just present briefly some phenomenology arising from this effect. So at first glance, you might expect that, you know, this composite system is always trivial. So, you know, there will be no gapless edge states. And what can I do? And indeed, if A and B are exactly overlaid on each other, then this will be a trivial system with no edge states, just fully gapped in the bulk and in the boundary. But you can imagine a terrace type construction in which A does not completely cover B. And in this case, the counterpropagating edge states from each system are well separated, and the gap will be very small because these will not interact much. So in such a construction, you'll expect yeah, you'll expect to see these gapless edge modes, and I've just illustrated that in the spectrum here. So also, it's kind of funny that this is kind of like a topological version of Lenz's law. So normally, we have some magnetic flux, which is inducing a countercurrent to cancel out that flux. But in this case, it's kind of like a Lenz law for the Berry flux of system A. Now that I've coupled the term number one here, I have this kind of like this counterflow on my other system that wants to cancel it out. Okay, so some of you might be wondering, you know, this limit that I'm taking of HB equals zero is kind of artificial. Most all real systems will have some non-zero Hamiltonian. So what happens when HB is non-zero? Well, so I'll show you that you get a wide range of phases. So it'll be less universal, because now it'll depend on the nature of HB. But you might be able to get a rich phase diagram, as you'll see. So now I want to change the setup a little bit. For system A, I again want to consider this Chern insulator with a Chern number minus 1. And now for B, I want to consider a Hamiltonian of the same type as system A, but I want to scale down the energy by some factor gamma. Okay. And I want to leave this parameter mu open, because I want to see what happens when I change the intrinsic phase of B. So like starting out in a non-trivial or trivial phase. And again, for the coupling, I take just simple tunneling between the two systems. So this is my setup. And I want to see what happens to the composite system as a function of the intrinsic phase of B, whether it's trivial or non-trivial, and also as a function of the coupling between the two systems.
For the phase B, it's always dead.
Phase B, not necessarily in this case.
So, but only for a particular value of mu with gapless.
Yes, right.
But generically it's gap.
Generically it's gap. Mm-hmm. So one ends up with part of a phase diagram looking like this. So here, these big integers denote the Chern number for the entire system. Okay, so let's first start out at small coupling, or at zero coupling. So if system B is already non-trivial with Chern number minus 1, then I have two minus 1 phases, and my total system has Chern number minus 2, as expected. And similarly, if B is trivial, it's Chern number 0, negative 1 plus 0 is negative 1. Okay, so this is all expected. And similarly, for large coupling, my total system is trivial, because this is basically the regime that I've been focusing on before, right? Because for strong coupling, the nature of the B Hamiltonian really doesn't matter. It's essentially zero. So this is the original inverse topological proximity effect. But the surprising thing, at least for this model, is that at this intermediate coupling, the total system has Chern number plus 1. So somehow this coupling has managed to turn a total Chern number of minus 1 into a total Chern number of plus 1. So pictorially, you start out with one edge state going this way on this layer. And just by tuning up the coupling between the layers, you've managed to flip the entire direction of current on the edge. So this motivates us to at least imagine a device called the topological piezoelectric diode, in which basically you can tune the direction of current flow just by squashing the two together and increasing the coupling.
Thank you.
Of course, in practice, I have a hard time envisioning it, but as a theorist, it's always fun. Okay, so this is a taste of what may happen when HB is non-zero. So it's less universal than this regime, but it could be richer as well.
What's the effect of gamma?
Oh, gamma is not that important. gamma just chose like 0.2 in this case. It'll shift the phase diagram a little bit, but yeah, it's not that important.
Doesn't kill the plus one
phase. Well, I'm sure at some value of gamma it will kill it, but basically it was not sensitive to the choice of gamma. These will move around a little bit, but it won't kill it for the range of gamma. Yeah. Okay, so I've told you what essentially happens in free fermion systems. And so now I want to try to generalize this to interacting systems. So again, let me begin with a concrete model in which we know for sure that this effect works. So I want to consider a spin 1/2 chain in a so-called cluster state Hamiltonian. This was, I think, initially considered by some quantum information people for the purposes of one-way quantum computation. But in any case, so you have this Hamiltonian that's basically a sum of all commuting terms. So every eigenstate in your system is labeled by this operator being plus or minus 1. And it turns out that the ground state of this Hamiltonian is a Z2 cross Z2 symmetry protected ground state. So each of these Z2s is basically a pi rotation of your spin for one sublattice. And this Z2 corresponds to a pi rotation for your other sublattice. Pi rotation around the x-axis. So again, the details are not that important, but I only want you to take away that this is a non-trivial ground state. That's all that's important. Okay. So now I want to proximatize this thing. So I introduce a second spin 1/2 chain with no Hamiltonian. And I want to couple the two systems in a manner that I described earlier, one that wants to maximally entangle the two. Yeah. It's related. I'm actually not that clear how it is related, but it does look very similar. So you also have these edge states, this fourfold degeneracy on a finite chain. And I guess AKLT is also protected by this as a subgroup. So it's definitely related. I'm just not sure exactly how.
But. I thought you could just add projection for the two spins.
Yeah.
Like two spin half to the spin one.
That probably works. Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely related. So back to this coupling. You can check that this coupling falls into the category that I mentioned. When g is infinity, the ground state of this is just some direct product of singlets. Okay. So one can again do perturbation theory to look at the effect of Hamiltonian induced on V via this coupling. And at first and second order perturbation theory, basically you'll generate terms that don't commute with this Hamiltonian. So they won't return you to the original ground state. So you need to go to third order to basically generate terms of the same structure as the initial Hamiltonian. Okay. So if you do perturbation theory, you'll just get an effective Hamiltonian for B that's of the same form as A. Okay. And numerologists might find it amusing that the coefficient turns out to be exactly 1. You can do this as a fun exercise if you want. So in any case, you end up inducing the same Z2 cross Z2 phase on the second system. And this symmetry class is classified by Z2, so the inverse phase is just itself. So this is all consistent with this inverse proximity effect. Any questions?
Sine of the J doesn't matter.
In this case,
I can always gauge it out.
Yeah, in this case, no, right. But I mean, some cases it will matter. Like if you have a spin one half projection onto a singlet, then yeah, I'm not exactly what will happen if you take the ferromagnetic interaction. Yeah, I mean, I really want the ground state to be just the maximally entangled state. Okay, so this is an integrable model, of course, but we expect this effect to be more general than these integrable models. So let me now be a little bit more speculative and make a conjecture that I can either prove or find a counterexample. So the conjecture is, so again, let HA be gapped with unique ground state, and let A and B be identical Hilbert spaces. For the coupling, let me consider a sum of projectors onto maximally entangled pairs of A and B. So again, something whose ground state will be this. Then the conjecture is that when I look at the total Hamiltonian involving HA and HAB, then there'll be no phase transition for the Hamiltonian at finite G. Okay, so weak and strong coupling will be smoothly connected. That's the conjecture. Now, I've been able to prove a much weaker result, and much less physical, too. So if I consider, instead of a coupling being a sum of local projectors, if I just consider a global projector onto this maximally entangled state, then this Hamiltonian I can prove has no transition at finite G. But yeah, this is another step, and I'm not sure how to prove or disprove this. Yeah.
In your churn number example,
yeah.
In what sense was that not a counterexample to this? Because you had G increasing, the churn number would go from +1 to -1.
So in that case, I started out with a non-zero Hamiltonian for B. B had some structure to begin with. So HB is zero in this conjecture. So in any case, this is my conjecture, and well, if it's false, then I topologize for the mistake, and also for the pun. So this is what we believe for interacting systems. So now let me just try to go beyond this framework that I've established and relax some of the assumptions and see what happens. So for example, thus far I've been considering invertible phases for A, but things might be interesting if you start out with non-invertible phase, like an intrinsically topologically ordered phase. So for example, we can take a toric code. So for those of you not familiar, which is probably no one, this toric code Hamiltonian has, okay, so this toric code starts out with spin one halves on the links of a square lattice. And the Hamiltonian consists of two kinds of terms. You have these sum over all stars of products of sigma z's on these stars. And you have these plaquettes with products of x's on these plaquettes. This is an intrinsically topologically ordered state. And so for the last time, let's try proximatizing this. We can add a secondary layer of spins beneath it. And again, consider this type of coupling between the two systems, same as the cluster state I mentioned earlier. And again, we just do this degenerate perturbation theory. So as you probably guessed, you need to go to fourth order to return to the ground state of system A. And what you end up doing is generating the same star and plaquette terms on system B. Okay. So in other words, a second toric code copy is induced on the second layer. And this is very different than the invertible phases I've talked about. In that case, you induce the inverse, and the total thing is immediately trivial, right? So here, in this sense, intrinsic topological order seems more robust to coupling to secondary system. Now when you at least weakly couple it, the topological order survives and is in fact enhanced. You have two copies of Torr code now, which is not equivalent to a trivial phase. Okay, so this is one illustration of relaxing this framework.
So I guess we don't know the answer again. If I take you to infinity, are there steps or is it?
Yeah, that's that we don't know.
So right now, a decoupling, it's, if I make a disk, it
right.
Lets out both of them. That's two, and time entropy is too locked.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally zero.
Yeah, there you have some phase transition
one or two.
I don't know.
Can I ask you also? So suppose I take this G infinity, or say G is very large.
Yeah.
So again, it's a similar question. So then I have this, is a singlet, it's a ground state, it's always singlet, independent,
yes.
Sine of J.
Right.
So it's a
product state.
Yeah, it's a product state. So then I have all these other states are kept out.
Right.
Locally.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect that if G is very large, then the HA
is irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's true. In the strong coupling limit, the whole system is trivial. So again, that's a distinction that I want to make regarding intrinsic topological order. So in this case, we do expect some transition at some finite g, in contrast to the invertible proximity effect.
That was clear.
Yeah. And we can try relaxing the other assumptions besides the invertibility. So things might get more interesting if you consider A and B to be different lattices or dimensions. And or even different Hilbert spaces, such as bosons on one layer, fermions on another layer. So Yuanming, Andreas, and I have started investigating what interesting things might happen in this case. And finally, I just want to mention that, you know, at the end of the day, it's just the Kondo lattice. And of course, you all know that Kondo effects, Kondo lattices, normally are studied for cases in which the electron system is metallic, right? That was the initial context for Kondo effect. But in this age of topological insulators, we might want to go back and consider, you know, Kondo effects with an insulating electronic state, and there might be interesting new phenomena there. So that might be a good direction to explore. Okay, so that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Let me just highlight the main points of my talk. So I've exhibited this bulk topological proximity effect in which a topological phase induces the inverse on an approximate system. So this is the picture that you should just take away. It's almost like a image charge, except instead of charges, you have like some topological number. And this effect has really no analog in conventional proximity effects from locally ordered states, such as magnets or superconductors. There's not even a notion of inverse phase. And hopefully I've convinced you that this seems fairly general. At least it definitely holds true for non-interacting systems. For interacting systems, again, the conjecture remains open for now. But I'd like to think that this effect is pretty general. So now the question is, what new phases can we put into this framework? Can we generate new stuff? Maybe some less desirable than others? So there's definitely plenty of room for exploration. Okay, well, Yeah, let me thank you guys for your attention first. And also, as the last speaker, let me take the opportunity to thank George and all the other organizers and scientific advisors for this wonderful, enjoyable conference. And yeah, thanks to you guys too, and hope to see you soon.
Closing talks. And session is open for questions.
Maybe a very naive one. If you consider the case in which HB is real, so it's basically acceptable in some sense.
Yes, right.
So I'm not totally surprised to see that you can immediately generate this inverse.
Right.
Suppose that it starts from a gapped trivial insulator.
Yeah.
When you couple them, you still have this the generation of the inverse term V, or?
Well, not immediately, right? Now.
Not immediately, for sure, but eventually. Or
eventually, you will overcome.
Eventually, you will have a trivial again.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
So if you start from a gapped trivial insulator, then it's not clear to me if you can induce something in it.
I mean, at very small coupling, you won't, because...
No, sure, but I mean, because here, this is not a trivial insulator, or is it a trivial...
You can consider both cases, starting out with a non-trivial or a trivial insulator for system B, right?
I see.
So the initial phase of B will be robust to some coupling, but then eventually you have to go into this more universal regime. Yeah.
Could you explain a little bit more about this plus one number state between
the region? I guess I don't have that much to say about it. Just, you know, I plug this into the computer and this is what I get. basically, at this point, there are two Dirac cones that close and reopen. So you end up with a change of turn number two as you increase the coupling. I mean, this is not going to be that universal. It's dependent on the models we started out with. So I didn't really want to emphasize it too much. It's just that it might be good fodder for applications. It's just model dependent.
I guess the first slide you showed the...
Which one?
They wrote down this effectively Hamiltonian was projection.
It was
in the beginning.
Right.
That's a general thing, right? Yeah, so, right. So that doesn't depend on the theory, so that even if I have Z2 topological insulator, it's the same.
Right. Yeah, like you directly imprint the excited state onto the
B
state.
If I have a 3D TI, then...
Yeah, this should work for all those cases, right?
Any more questions? Comments?
One more question about this. If I just take a general string net model and do this, is it true that, because that's a very specific class of models, and then I add maximally, then I can do perturbation theory. That's like just slightly beyond your toy code.
Right.
Is that always true?
I think you would just duplicate it as well.
But a general argument there, right? By induction.
It's pretty good. I don't have a general argument, but I guess the rough intuition is that this type of coupling that maximally entangles the topological ordered one with a free system.
Right.
I mean, basically any anions in one layer will kind of just pick out an anion on the other one. And
right.
I don't know. It's kind of hand-waving.
But this was some perturbation theory in general. Probably you didn't. But this was perturbation theory.
Yeah, yeah. That probably works as well. Those are integrable models as well.
Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it would work similarly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you had the smaller system B, and then you still had edge states?
Yeah.
So did the edge states go all around the system, or do they... Also on the blue one, it doesn't just go...
Actually, that's a good point. It has a gap out here, and...
So it could go, like, on the blue side, only on the empty space, on top of
it. Yeah, I haven't examined where it's vocalized as you go around. That might be worth exploring. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, if the green square or rectangle is inside the blue one, we know exactly what happens, right?
Yeah, these are not on top of each other.
And the other case is just a limiting case of that, where some edge states get annihilated.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Was a question that's in Team Bay.